Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, greetings from my family and I, wherever you are. This is my first time speaking in front of a congregation. I am grateful for the opportunity to dig deeper in the Word in preparation for this message. I hope you could learn as much today as I did in preparing for this message. In the last weeks, we studied 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 to 4. As I often need to jog my memory, let's briefly review the previous parts to have some background. We know that Paul wrote this letter, one of his first letters, to this newly established small Christian community in Thessalonica to reconnect with them after he and Silas fled from the riot instigated by some jealous Jews there. Later, he sent Timothy, one of his traveling companions, to check on the Thessalonian church. To his joy, the new Christians there, whom he loved and cared about dearly, were staying faithful and strong. According to the Bible Project, his letter to the Thessalonians could be considered as having two parts. In the first part, chapter 1 to 3, he was celebrating their faithfulness to Jesus. In the second part, chapter 4 to 5, he challenges them to keep growing as followers of Jesus. Last week, we studied the last part of chapter 4 with Jeff. In it, Paul addressed people's concerns about their loved ones, the believers who had died before the second coming of Christ. He encouraged them not to grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope, by reassuring them that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. He went on saying, "The dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." Today, we're starting our last chapter of the book, chapter 5. We will focus on the first 11 verses of the chapter. Let's pray first. Dear Lord, we thank you for today, when we can get together, either physically or through the internet, to worship you and to connect with each other as the body of Christ. Thank you for your presence. We pray that you lead us to understand you and to experience you in a profound way. I pray that you would speak through me today. It is your message, not my own. I pray that you speak to each and every member and visitor in ways that make sense, and that you would connect with us personally. May your words be enlightening, encouraging, nourishing to our souls. May your name be glorified. Amen. So today, we're going to focus on the first 11 verses of chapter 5. In this passage, Paul addressed three main points. In his first point, he reiterated what Jesus said in Matthew 24, that the day of the Lord, when Jesus will return, is getting close, but no one knows the actual timing of when it will happen. So in his second point, he reminds us that we are safe because of who we are, our identity. He goes on to challenge us that what we do should match our identity as the children of the light and of the day. We should always be spiritually alert and sober and not living in the darkness, because God's purpose for us is to receive salvation, not to suffer His wrath. Then he moved to his third point, that for this reason, we should encourage one another and build each other up as the body of Christ. We are accountable for each other to stay true to our identity and to live out God's purpose for us. To say the world we are living in right now is crazy might be an understatement. With everything that happened and is happening this year, we are suffering. I don't know about you, but I can't help thinking to myself and asking God as well, at multiple occasions, is this it. From the beginning of our studies of the books of Thessalonians, we learned that the Thessalonian church was facing some very tough times. They were also suffering. They probably were wondering, more might have been predicting the end of the world, like generations of people had done in the past. Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending how you see it, no one had predicted the end time accurately. For Jesus said in Matthew 24 and Mark 13 that no one knows, not even himself. So let's read the scripture, the first part. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. Chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Chapter 5 continues the discussion of the second coming of Christ, when Paul here used the term a day of the Lord. The day of the Lord originated from the Old Testament, referring to the time of God's deliverance and judgment. In this context, Paul was referring to it as Christ's second coming. Like many teachers applying good teaching practice, Paul felt the need to reinforce and reteach the idea of the day of the Lord, even though he had taught it to the Thessalonians when he was physically with them. He acknowledged the fact that they heard it and knew it well, but it is so important that he would refresh the idea, nonetheless, in his letter to them. Paul here used the analogy of thief at night and labor pains that Jesus used in Matthew 24 to talk about Christ's second coming as unexpected and unpredictable. In verse 3, he alluded to the political propaganda of the time, Pax Romana, which means Roman peace. Roman emperors were proclaiming a new era of peace and safety. Look how great Roman is. People everywhere have peace. And yet, this peace and safety wasn't really a reality for most common people. It was forged with military power and control. Paul is reminding people that despite this supposed peace and safety, the destruction will still come, and come suddenly. No one will escape. Notice that the adverb here is suddenly. Paul again stressed the unexpected and unpredictable nature of Christ's second coming. And this consequence is pertaining to everyone. So what does it mean for us? We live in a time when the world is constantly telling us, we humans are better and more powerful than ever. We are in control of our fate and future. We have strong governments, cutting-edge technology, and advanced medicine. The future is bright and wonderful. But really? The reality we have witnessed and experienced, especially this year, is quite different. You must have heard a Chinese saying that goes, 四十而不惑, which means when you are 40, you're without doubts or confusion. I'm almost 40, but I have no doubt that the world is not as rosy as is depicted. Then where should we put our hope? Without the assurance of true safety and security in and through Jesus Christ, for me, it's an extremely uncomfortable situation. I would have been totally debilitated by the constant anxiety and fear about the future. Well, I assume there must have been people like me in the Thessalonian church. Therefore, Paul went on to say, "Don't worry, you're safe." He assures them of their identity as children of the light and children of the day, and urges them to live a life that is consistent with their identity. Let's read the second part. So 1 Thessalonians Chapter 5, verse 4 to 10. Chapter 5, verse 4 to 10. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and the children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Light and darkness are used in both the Old Testament and the New Testament as metaphors for good and evil, security and danger, joy and sorrow, truth and lies, life and death, salvation and condemnation. Light and darkness cannot coexist. So Paul said in verse 5 that they do not belong to the night or the darkness, since they are children of the light. Paul used these words to affirm their identity, who they are at the core of their being, and their security is tied to their identity, so they didn't need to fear or to be anxious. Also, because of their identity, who they are, they don't fall asleep, but stay awake and sober. Here, apparently Paul was not talking about being physically asleep or drunk. He was talking about the spiritual apathy and numbness. Because of our identity as children of the light, we have the same security tied to our identity, and we always stay spiritually vigilant. We're different and ought to be different from those who sleep and get drunk. Who are not spiritually vigilant. To be who we are, Paul used the phrase, let us, 3 times in this passage to call for our active preparation. Be ready at all times and guard ourselves by staying faithful, loving, and hopeful of our salvation. It is God's plan and purpose for us to live a life that is consistent with our identity, and that we should obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus instead of experiencing his wrath. As Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So Paul here says, God's purpose for us is to live together with him forever through his sacrifice. So what is the application here? Paul said it pretty plainly and directly that we should live out our identity. Be alert, be sober, and get ready. We live in a world that is full of distractions, transitions, worldly wisdom telling us we are the center of everything that happens, trendy technology, the news of the day, or generally the busyness of life. We could easily lose focus and forget our purpose and God's purpose for us. COVID-19 has created so much suspense and uncertainty in addition to the physical loss for all of us. Even though my family, in comparison, was much less affected by the pandemic since we have stayed here the whole time, I still felt very anxious and worried for the last 7-8 months. With some self-reflection, I realized that it was the uncertainty of the future and the loss of control that bothered me. Because of this shock to my system, I was a bit disoriented. Jesus was out of the picture. For a moment, I forgot who was really in control. I was impatient, short-fused with the loved ones in the house. You know, you can ask my wife and kids. In a sense, I slipped into this spiritual coma. Even when things are going well, complacency could be another trap that snares us. We might be just living to do our things, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, as Jesus was talking of Noah's time in Matthew 24, and yet we are drifting away from who we should be. Paul urged us to stay alert and sober because it was so easy to slip and fall into an unconscious state by inadvertently following the world. So we need each other's help. So let's read the last part. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So in the last part of this passage, Paul repeated the phrase, encourage one another, from chapter 4, verse 18, because encouragement for each other is so vital for our spiritual lives. This is also the action point Paul had for the Thessalonians and us followers of Christ. It is not a one-time deal. It is the ongoing process of life sharing with our brothers and sisters in the church. It is easy for us to be loving, kind, forgiving, or patient once or twice. But when it gets to be 77 times, things get hard. Encourage one another and build each other up. This is how we ought to live with each other in our community. So brothers and sisters, these are extremely tough times. You may be separated or even have lost your loved ones. You may be professionally and financially affected. You may be in limbo, not knowing what tomorrow holds. You may be at a waiting place, waiting for the borders to be open or getting out of quarantine. Or you may just be in a situation that is not pleasant. Please don't forget the promise that the day of the Lord will come and we are taken care of. We'll be okay because we have the true safety through Jesus Christ. So let's support each other with encouragement and build each other up in tough times like this. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, be with us. You know our pains and sorrows. Please comfort the ones who are hurt. Remind us of the hope in your promise. Strengthen our faith in you, Lord. May your kingdom come and your will be done. Keep us alert, sober, on guard for what is to come. Lord, please protect, and build up your church. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.